Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
God sometimes speaks to me this way. He tells me what to preach, and I don't quite know what he means. So it takes me a few days to figure out, God, what do you mean by that? And God spoke this to me, and I believe it's kind of a prophetic message, a word for several people here tonight, that God has something better for you, something better than what you're expecting, something better than what you have planned. And all my life, I'm the type of person who gravitates towards planning, setting goals, working really hard, trying to make those things happen. And the Bible says it this way in Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way. I like that because my heart plans my way. I'm a man with a plan. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I love that. And in my, you know, great 34 years of living and planning, and I know that a lot of things haven't gone exactly as I have planned, but God has always done something better than what I had planned, something better than what I was even praying for or looking forward to. So just my word of advice is keep being ambitious, have goals, be determined, but always be open to God's direction. Always be open to his direction because he's got something better in store for you, something better than you even imagine. Amen. So just a couple of quick little points about what God told me something better specifically means. So he told me something better, it will be unexpected. When God does something better, it will be unexpected. You can have faith, you can have a sense of expectancy, but when God brings certain things to pass, that go outside of your plans, it's going to be a little bit unexpected. The Bible says when Jesus comes again, it's going to be like a thief in the night. And I think sometimes when Jesus brings things to pass in our life, it's like a thief in the night. So be on the lookout. Be ready. Be expectant. God can set up things. He can do things any moment for you. You know, you need to wake up with this feeling like when you get up in the morning, like today could be the day. Today could be the day that I meet the spouse I've been praying for. Today could be the day that I get that business contract I've been trying to, you know, seal a deal on. Today could be the day. Today could be the day that just God just changes everything around. God could set up a divine connection. So be on the lookout. Every day when you wake up, you need to set your foot on the ground, realizing today could be the day. So something better will be unexpected. Number two, something better will be unusual. When God does something better, it's often unusual, and sometimes people miss it because it's so unusual, so outside of the box. God likes to do things, I don't believe he does things in mysterious ways, but I believe he likes to do things in unusual ways, and sometimes people miss it. I was thinking about the Syrian commander in the Bible by the name of Naaman, who had leprosy, and just so happened that he had an Israeli maid who was taken captive, and she said, man, I just wish you could meet this prophet in Samaria by the name of Elisha. You know, lots of miracles follow his ministry. If you could connect with him, I believe that you could get a miracle in your body because he serves the one true God, the one true God of Israel. You need to try to find Elisha. So he sent out messengers to go find Elisha. They found him. Then Naaman followed them, got to the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha wouldn't even meet Naaman, this great commander of the world's largest army, the largest empire in that day. Elisha would not even go to the door to meet him. He just sent his servant to go to the door, and he told, hey, servant, you tell Naaman this. Tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. It said Naaman went away furious. This was too unusual. I'm furious. He should have at least come to the door. I was expecting it. This is very unusual. I don't know. He went away furious, the Bible says. But his servants had a smart idea. Hey, maybe just do what he said. Don't get offended. I know it's just his servant, just the associate pastor that talked to you, not the main senior pastor that had, but don't get offended. Just do what he said. And he did it and he was healed, right? Sometimes people miss out on God's something better for them because something better is often unusual. Number three, something better will often come as a surprise. God is a great gift giver. He is the best giver in all the universe. And one thing I know about great gift giving, Great gift givers understand the element of surprise. You know, I love giving gifts, but I get so excited when I, you know, want to give a good gift that I can't keep it a surprise. Heather knows this. You know, I end up buying her a really great Christmas present like in October, but then I just can't wait. I'm so excited to give it to her. I tell her what it is and give it to her in November. And I have to buy another present. I usually end up buying like 3 or 4 big presents because I just can't keep it a surprise. And she's saying, yeah, she knows it's true. God is the best gift giver, and he understands the element of surprise and also the element of timing. Timing is an aspect of him surprising you. So one thing I know that, you know, God's something better for you, it will come as a surprise, but God knows you better than you know yourself. Sometimes he surprises you with something you didn't even realize that you needed. The best kind of surprise gifts are not ones that you need. You know, if Heather told me, hey, I need a new vacuum, if I went out and bought her a vacuum for Christmas, she wouldn't like that. She wants something that she doesn't need. You know, she wants something that really the best gift is going to be something that she didn't even know that she would like. She didn't even know that she wanted it. That's how God's something better looks. It's something that you didn't even realize that you needed yourself. And man, I know sometimes you know, as faith people, I'm a strong faith person. I believe in knowing God's promises and knowing exactly what you're praying for, exactly what you're called to do, exactly what you knowing what you need to accomplish God's goal in your life. But sometimes we make detailed lists for God. God, I'm believing for a wife, and she will have black hair, she will have blue eyes, she will have. We get so specific. And sometimes it's better just to tear away your list and just say, hey, God, I'm going to give this to you. You just surprised me. I'm going to trust you. And I was like that when I was believing for a spouse. I had in mind, you know, my list of top 10 things I'm looking for in a spouse. And really the only one thing that really matters is, you know, my future spouse will really love Jesus. That's the number one thing. And beyond that, you can just trust God with that list. Sometimes we have a very specific list about what we want in maybe a house you're looking for. I know several people who've been looking for houses in this crazy housing market right now in Colorado Springs. And, you know, sometimes you have a specific list for what you're looking for a job. But I think sometimes it's better just to trust God with things. Just take your list, shred it, and say, God, I'm giving it to you. You surprise me. You know me better than I know myself, and God, I'm going to trust you with this. And God's something better, it often comes as a surprise. And number four, when God does something better, you're going to know that it was him. Only God could have done this thing. Only God could have brought this thing to pass. I love what David spoke to Goliath. He said, when God does this thing, 1 Samuel 17, verse 46, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I love reading. I'm reading through some of the prophets right now, and they say that they may know that there is a God in Israel. God, something better looks like this. At the end of the day, you're going to look back and say, only God could have done that. It wasn't me. It wasn't someone else. It was completely God. God, something better. It looks like you will definitely know that only God could bring it to pass. And let me tell you this. If you have Jesus in your heart, God wants to do something better in your life. He wants to do something unexpected, something unusual, something that surprises you. And he wants to do something that only he can bring to pass. And it's going to far surpass anything you can possibly imagine. I love what Ephesians 3:20 says. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. If you have Jesus in your heart, something better is going to be your way of life. God is going to do something better for you on a daily basis. Just he's going to accomplish so many things that you can say, only Jesus could have done this. Amen. So here's my first kind of word for several people here tonight, and it's this, that God has something better for you relationally. I believe this is a specific word for several people here tonight, a word of encouragement, but God has something better for you relationally. God works through relationships. He brings his divine purpose to pass purpose to pass through relationships. It might be a job relationship, a professional relationship. It might be friendships. It might be mentors, maybe through your family, maybe through marriage. But God cares about you. He cares about your heart. He cares about your relationships. And I believe that He has something better. He wants to do something unexpected, something unusual, something that's a surprise, and something that only He can do in your life relationally. Amen? And that was that. God brought that word to pass in my life. I met Heather. How old was I? We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary yesterday, by the way. So, but Heather was my something better. She was my something way better. Way better. Way better than anything I could have put on a list. Something that was unexpected, unusual, a surprise, only God could have brought it to pass. And actually, when I first met Heather, she was here on a Wednesday night. We went to Chick-fil-A with several people after church. I don't think I knew her too much at the time, but I felt God just tell me that she is an Abigail. And I even told her that, because I can't keep a surprise and I can't just keep... But I said, Heather, I think you're an Abigail. And the Bible talks about this woman, Abigail, that she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. Those were the two, and that's a powerful package. A good understanding and beautiful appearance. And God spoke to me, you know, she is an Abigail. And I after 2 years of marriage and getting to know her more and more, I know that she is a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. And I love this story about Abigail in the Bible. She was kind of stuck relationally. She had a good understanding, was beautiful, but she was stuck with this guy named Nabal. The Bible says he was harsh and evil in his doings. His own servants said he was a son of Belial, which is not a positive term. His own servants said he's basically a son of his father, the devil. My more PC New King James Version says a scoundrel. But I think in the King James, it straight up says son of Belial. So, and that's what it means in the Hebrew as well. Let's actually read this story about Abigail. And I think it's going to inspire some people here tonight who are believing for something better. Maybe you're stuck with a Nabal. I don't know if your Nabal is your boss or your Nabal is a child. And if your Nabal is your spouse, don't look at them right now. Pray that God works in their heart and they repent and that God doesn't strike them dead in 10 days like He did in this story. But sometimes God wants to work through relationships. And let's just read this story here. 1 Samuel 25. We'll start in verse 2. This is a good word for anyone out there tonight. God wants to do something better for you relationally. So 1 Samuel 25, verse 2, it says, "Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb." So David was on the run from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. He had about 600 men of war with him at the time. For a period of time, he was actually working alongside Nabal's servants. So the Bible said that he actually helped protect Nabal's servants. I don't know if it was from Saul's army or what, but he was protecting Nabal's servants. And there was a feast day coming up. His 600 men were hungry. And he thought, hey, I've been helping Nabal's guys out. Let me go talk to Nabal, see if he'll give us some food for this special feast day. Not a huge favor to ask. So he sends 10 men to go ask Nabal, hey, can we have some of your extra food, some of your extra leftovers? And Nabal just went off the deep end. He said, absolutely not. I don't care about David. Who is he? Get lost. He told these 10 people to get lost. The men returned to David, and David, verse 13, he got hot. David was a redhead. He was ruddy. I understand the genes that go along with being a redheaded. Sometimes we have a hot temper. David was You know, he knew how to play the harp before the Lord, but he knew how to swing a sword. He said, every man get your sword. Don't get the harps, get your sword. Get your sword. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Verse 14. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us. We were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all this household, for he is such a scoundrel of son of Belial that one cannot speak to him. So Abigail, she just took charge of the situation. Verse 18 says, she made haste, took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed. She just went to town. She just bypassed the scoundrel, trusted God, did what God called her to do. And, you know, she approaches David. I love what she actually kind of preaches to David. She really heard from God. She really had a good understanding. I love what she says to David, verse 23. It said that she dismounted quickly when she saw him from the donkey, fell on her face before David, bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. Powerful statement. So she's saying, what Nabal has done, she takes a lot of responsibility here. You know, she's a very responsible person. Please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, the son of Belial. For as his name is, so he is. Nabal means fool. So his parents named him fool. Be careful what you name your children. Be careful what you call your children. Yes. Some of you maybe didn't name your kid Nabal, but maybe you treat them like Nabal or expect them to turn in. You need to prophesy good things over your children. Yes. And you need to speak words of life over your children. Yes. Amen. Nabal is his name. Folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand. She starts speaking words of wisdom to David. She's saying, hey, I have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom that you're about ready to go kill everyone over here. But I have a word for you that's not the best route to take right now. The Lord's saying something different. The Lord is he's holding you back right now from coming to do bloodshed, avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord, let all of your enemies be like Nabal. Verse 27, and now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. She's speaking, she's actually prophesying over David now at this point. She's saying, the one true Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the one true Lord of Israel, he's going to make you're going to have an enduring house because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. In the lives of your enemies, he shall sling out as from the pocket of a slingshot. She's saying all your enemies, God is going to sling them out. Man, she's straight up prophesying here over David. All of your enemies, he's going to sling them out like a sling. It might not have looked like that at the time. You know, David was in hiding for years at this point, but she's saying God is going to take care of you. He's going to set up an enduring house for you. All of your enemies, God's going to sling them out like a sling. Verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord either, that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. And David saw, you know, that word coming through Abigail, that it was a word from the Lord. He said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to do bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. So he recognized, you know, Abigail, she has that good understanding. God is speaking through her to me. And she, David, this great king of Israel, she actually convinced him to change his plan of action. And shortly after, Abigail went back home. Later, she told Nabal what happened. And the Bible says that Nabal was so furious that his heart turned into stone. His heart turned into stone. And 10 days later, he just dropped dead. David found out, proposed to Abigail. She said yes. And God did something better for her relationally. So don't pray that your Nabal drops dead, please. That's not what I'm... Don't go home saying, Pastor Aaron says I need to pray that this scoundrel in my life just is like Nabal. Don't do that. God can do things, again, in unusual ways, unexpected ways. He can surprise you. But at the end of the day, when God works through your relationships, and again, God wants to work in your life relationally. He wants to work in your life. He wants life-giving relationships to happen to you. He wants relationships that are kindled by his divine purpose. Amen? He wants those kind of relationships in you, but he wants you to realize at the end of the day, only God could have done this. Amen? And that's what happened in Abigail's life. Only God could have done this. Only God could have brought her and David to together. So maybe you feel stuck somehow relationally. Maybe it's a professional relationship. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe you're believing God for a spouse and you just feel stuck. Just remember, God has something better for you. He wants to do something that's unexpected, something that's unusual, something that's a surprise, and something that when you look back, you're going to say, only God could have done that. And when I look at my wife, Heather, I say, only God could have done that. I was about as stuck as you can be stuck. Romantically. Christian, single, and ready to mingle, and stuck. But God did something, you know, amazing, something that could have exceeded anything I could have put on a list. And God wants to do that in your life, in your relationships. Amen. So here's another point I have, another word for someone here tonight, someone here watching this message. But God has something better for you financially, something better for you specifically about your living situation. I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, houses. A lot of people are looking for houses. Man, several people have come up to me, you know, wanting prayer about a house. And in the natural right now, the housing market in Colorado Springs is kind of crazy. Probably if you looked at the stats, there's a lot more people trying to buy a home than trying to sell a home. You know, realistically, it's not a good market to try to buy in. But several people within the past month or two that I have prayed for, God has done something better than what they were expecting, better than what they were planning, better than God did something better with their living situation. Amen. And I believe that's a word for several people here tonight, several people watching this. But God has something better for you. Maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you just feel like you're just in survival mode where you're at, your current just way of life. You're just living life day to day, just trying to get by, trying to just scrape by, trying to just every day is a struggle. God has something better for you. God does not want you to be stuck in survival mode. He loves you where you're at, whatever your situation is, but God wants to bring you to an abundant place. God wants you to man, he wants to do something more than you can possibly think, imagine, even dream of. Amen. And again, I believe when he brings this something better to pass in your life, it's going to be unexpected, unusual, a surprise. And at the end of the day, you're going to say, only God could have done that. I remember just looking back at my adult life, at my various living situations. I remember I was stuck in a very bad living situation in college. I went to, you know, Babylon University. Where I was like Elijah, I said, I am the only one, God. I get up on a Sunday morning, and I was the only person awake, you know, walking to the bus to go to church, because just straight up Baal worship was going on all night, you know, Saturday night, the night before. My living, all my roommates were Baal worshipers, sons of Belial. And I didn't have a lot of money, so I just rented this tiny little room. It was probably a closet in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My parents saw it. It was 6 feet by 8 feet, 48 square feet. I round up to 50. You know, the floors slanted. The house should have been condemned, you know, like 100 years ago. Probably should have been condemned. The wind would blow through that place. And yeah, and it was just in the winter, the house would go like that. The summer would be like that. But the winter, there'd be at least a foot slope there. And I had a couple roommates, sons of Belial. I paid a little bit. They got the big rooms so they could, you know, do their sons of Belial things. And I had my little closet. And I remember just thinking, God, I'm going to believe that wherever I live, it's always going to be better than this. I'm never going to go back. I'm only going to go forward. And God, you have something better for me. Later on, I got into something better. I went to Houston, to Rice University for my master's, doctorate. I got into somewhat better living situation. I was on my own. Didn't have to have sons of Belial roommates. Had 500 square foot, which felt like a palace to me at the time. And I felt like, compared to my little closet I lived in, man, 500 square foot, this is, for me at that time, I thought I was living the high life, man, 500 square foot. And I still believe, God, whatever you do for me, it's always going to be better and better. I'm not going to go back. I'm going to increase my living situation. You're always going to do something better in it. You know, and 5 years ago, I moved here to become a pastor. I was able to buy a house. Because God did something better than what I was planning, you know, financially. I wrote down my goals, exactly what I wanted to make when I finished my master's. And when I finished my master's, I was unemployed, in debt, stuck. But I kept believing God. God, I believed, you know, that you're going to bring this thing to pass. And I thought I knew how God would bless me financially, but he did it in a completely different way. I thought I was going to get, you know, a job, playing the flute with benefits. And I remember even I had like wisdom teeth that were coming in and they constantly get infected. And I was holding out because, God, I'm believing that within a year I'm going to have a job with benefits and I'll have dental and I'll just have my dental insurance pay for my wisdom teeth surgery. So I was holding out. I was like praying, rebuking this stuff, but I kept getting these wisdom teeth infections. And man, when I finished, it didn't happen like I expected, but God ended up blessing me better than I possibly could have imagined. I just started buying and selling watches on Craigslist in Houston, Texas. And I was able to make enough money to, you know, pay cash. My dad got a good cash deal with an oral surgeon in Denver. So I came home for Christmas, got my wisdom teeth taken out. And but God ended up doing something better. I ended up making twice as much what I was believing for in a very unusual way, a very unexpected way, something that when I look back, only God could have brought this thing to pass. And it set me up, you know, to buy a house here. And then when I met Heather, you know, she moved here from Tennessee. She bought a house in Woodland Park, then moved into my house on the west side of town. And I was, you know, like any you know, woman with a beautiful appearance and good understanding, she wanted to remodel the whole place. I said, hold on, babe. I think God has something better. We don't need to live through a giant remodel. You know, I think this house is appreciated. Maybe we'll just sell this and buy what you want. And she didn't really like that, but I still, you know, every man's got at least 1% of Nabal in him, a little stubborn, a little, you know, well, we're going to keep. I showed her, you know, 300 homes on Zillow. I think we looked at 30 homes. She hated every home. I even tried to get some you know, people with great wisdom concerning homes, you know, home builders, and you know, come with us, look at these homes, and just didn't matter what home we walked into, she just hated it. And I had a very specific list of where our home would be, what district, what part of town. I knew I wanted a home. Like when I was a kid, I hated yard work. I had really bad hay fever. I wanted to buy a house on a cliff, or just You don't even have to worry about a yard. You know, you just take those flowers and just pitch them off the deck. And that's what was in my list. And part of the reason was because I grew up, I had really bad hay fever. If my dad, you know, wanted me to mow the lawn, I'd try to do it, but I'd things would get in my nasal cavity, and like for a week I'd be like coughing, sneezing, feeling sick. So I just had very bad feelings about mowing the lawn, and ever since I was in high school, I never touched a lawnmower. So it'd been, you know, 15 years of my adult life, I never bought, but Heather had a different list in mind. She's from Tennessee where everything's green and lush and flat and, you know, yards, and she on my birthday, a year and a half ago, January 4, you know, Heather was so frustrated that she didn't want to buy a home at all. She wrote in her journal the night before, God, just give Aaron what he wants. I'm tired of him showing me homes. I'm tired of looking at Zillow. I'm tired of all this. Just give him what he wants. Just do it. And January 4th, we met my parents for brunch over at Mimi's, and my dad just said, oh, well, I saw there's an open house today, and it's actually kind of close to here. Why don't we just go check it out? So we went there to this open house, and out of the 300 homes I'd showed Heather, out of the 30 we got a tour of, she said, I like this one. And it wasn't where I wanted to be. It had a big yard. It was green. It was on a golf course, so there's always green there. It wasn't what I was picturing, but Heather liked it. So what did I do? The 99% non-Nabal side of me said, I'm going to do what Heather wants. We're gonna put an offer on this thing. We got it. And I mowed the lawn for the first time, you know, since I was a teenager. And Heather, you know, she knows how good lawns look. She's from Tennessee, and she said, you are doing it wrong. It's not how we do it. But, you know, God's actually healed me from hay fever. And now, the first summer, I wasn't so sure with this whole giant yard thing, tons of landscaping. We have a professional landscaper here, John. He came over and he said, this is the most high maintenance yard I've ever seen in my life. But just the other day, you know, God's done a work in me. Something that was very unusual, something unexpected, something that was a surprise for me. You know, I never thought I would enjoy doing yard work, but I woke up the other day at 5 a.m. on Saturday just excited because I had some, you know, new flowers I wanted to plant, and I know how to do the drip system now, and I love yard work now, and it's a complete miracle. God has something better for you, something better than you can imagine. God knows you better than you know yourself. And I have one more short point. This is God has something better than what you are planning. And I just felt God wants me to mention the sick man who was at the pool of Bethesda. I'm not going to go through this entire story, but this is found in John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. There was a sick man who had been sick, you know, many, many years. He went to this pool at Bethesda because something special happened there. The Bible says just sporadically there would be an angel that would trouble the waters, and the first person to get into the water would be healed of whatever ailment they had. So Jesus just shows up to this pool at Bethesda, and he approaches this man who had probably been there day after day, month after month, year after year. And this man had a very specific picture in mind of how he was going to be healed. He'd been waiting at that pool for year upon year at that pool, expecting, this is how I'm going to be healed. There's going to be an angel that troubles that water, and God's going to send someone here, some man, to pick me up and throw me in there before anyone else. That's how it's going to happen. And Jesus just shows up. Jesus is that something better for this man. Maybe some of you are believing for healing, and you have a very specific, you know, picture in mind and how it's going to come to pass. God is probably going to do something better than what you have in mind. So I just want to read this just little interaction. So Jesus shows up, John chapter 5, verse 6. It says, Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" You know, a very simple question. Most of us would just say yes. Like, that's a very simple question. I want to be made well. But this man, he'd been sick so long, he couldn't even answer that simple question. He just kind of goes into, well, this is how I'm planning. I'm going to tell you my plan. The sick man answered him, verse 7, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." So he doesn't even answer Jesus' simple question, "Do you want to be made well?" And he's probably, this man probably year upon year had been praying, "God, just send someone to help me. Send a man to help me. Send someone to help me." And God sends Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus just says to him, verse 8, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. This man probably had a very specific plan. He was probably praying, "God, today, just send a good Samaritan across my path." But he didn't know about the story of the good Samaritan yet because it wasn't written yet. "But please send a good Elijah across my path. I don't know. Send someone who's going to help me, and just they'll be there at the right time, and they'll be strong enough to pick me up and throw me in the water before anyone else." He probably prayed that same prayer day after day. But God had something better in store for him. Jesus is our something better. Jesus makes everything better. Everything is better with Jesus, period. God has great plans for you. If you have Jesus in your heart, God has great plans for you. He has something better in store for you. I love what the Bible says in Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Then whatever you're believing for, whatever you're praying for, whatever you're asking for, God's will for you is better than for what you have for yourself. I guarantee that God has something better in store for you. He wills something better for you than you even desire or pray for yourself. So Jesus, he is our something better. If he's living on the inside of you, get ready. I know that God is going to do things that are unusual, things that are unexpected, things that will surprise you, and things that when you look back, you're going to say, "Only God could have done this. This was what God brought to pass in my life." I believe that God is bringing this verse to pass. It's quoted by Paul. It's from the prophet Isaiah. It's found in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I love that. I believe that in these days, that verse is coming to pass. We're going to see things that the church has never seen before. Yes. We're going to hear things. We're going to experience things that people have never experienced on the earth before. God is not done with the church. God is not done with Charis Christian Center. God is not done with you. Yes. Your greatest days are ahead of you. They are not behind you. Yes. God has something better in store for you. I don't care if you're 19. I don't care if you're 90. God has something better in store for you. Every day you need to get up and realize that today God can do something unusual, something unexpected. He can surprise me. And I'm going to look back and say, that was a God encounter that day. Yes. Amen. I think that's pretty much my conclusion there. So. Right now, I'm going to have Heather come up. She's
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.